A 2,000-year-old Egyptian mummy held the secret of life in his bony skeleton fingers. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about life after death. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast. Facts which can affect you. You know, friends, an Egyptian mummy was found in his tomb after 2,000 years. And clasped within his bony fingers was the bulb of a flower. Now, men wondered if this bulb would grow after 2,000 years. They could hardly wait to see. They planted the bulb in good soil in a sunny spot and watered it well, and then they waited. Their waiting was rewarded when one day a little green sprout started making its way up through the earth, and it grew into a beautiful flower that had not seen the sun for 2,000 summers. Now, friends, that's the way it's going to be on the resurrection morning. Even if your loved ones have slept in the grave for 2,000 years, when Jesus calls, he'll rise in the beauty of youth to live for eternity. Now, none of your loved ones have been there for that long, but even if it was 5 minutes ago or 2,000 years ago, it'll all be the same for them. Now, what a pity that Satan has polluted this beautiful truth into a lie that millions of church-going people have accepted. Satan says you don't have to wait for the resurrection. Satan says that when you die, part of you just keeps on living, that you don't have to wait for the resurrection to go to heaven. Now, the Bible calls this the spiritism of the devil. Spiritism claims that these spirits that leave the body come back to this world to visit people at times and to even bring messages. But the Bible says that when a man goes down to the grave, he will come back no more until the resurrection day. The Bible makes it clear that when the voice of Jesus calls, those in Christ who are asleep in death will come forth. David said when his little son died, "But now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. You see, David understood about death, friends. He didn't believe that you went right to heaven when you died. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:5, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything." Now, how can you believe that the spirits of the dead come and give advice and give messages to men and women if they don't know anything? It's impossible, according to the Bible. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Verse 6 says, "Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished." You see, friends, when you die, you don't love, you don't have wisdom or knowledge because you don't know anything. You're absolutely dead until the resurrection morning. Jesus said in John 5, 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth." Now, that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible certainly does not teach that the spirits of our departed dead come to visit us, nor have they gone to heaven or hell. They wait for the resurrection. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, as he was full of the Holy Spirit, said in Acts 2, 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, for David is not ascended into the heavens." You see, Peter understood God's plan also. David understood that plan, that death is like a sleep, and he must wait until the resurrection day. We read what David wrote in Psalm 17:15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." You see, he understood the sleep of death. He didn't believe, like a lot of people do today, that the moment a good person dies, he immediately goes to heaven. David believed God's way, that when he died, he'd sleep the sleep of death and rise again on the resurrection morning. And he rested in the assurance of the day coming when he would hear the voice of Jesus calling him from the grave to life again. And David said he'd be satisfied on the resurrection day when he saw his Savior face to face. Now, please notice that Jesus also likened death to a sleep. In the 11th chapter of John, it tells the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus, and how he became sick and was about to die. A messenger came, pleading for Jesus to hurry before his friend died. But Jesus didn't go immediately, and Lazarus died. Now, Jesus knew Lazarus had died, of course, but his disciples didn't. So he explained it to them. In John 11:11-14, it says, "And after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, Plainly Lazarus is dead." Now, Jesus plainly likened death unto a sleep until the resurrection day. Those closest friends and loved ones of Jesus were taught that you do not go to heaven when you die, but you wait in the grave until the resurrection. Now, after Lazarus had been dead 4 days, Jesus was talking to Lazarus' sister Martha. And Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now Martha understood that Jesus would raise Lazarus again from the dead at the resurrection and the last day, or at the second coming. And Jesus told her that he'd be the one who would be doing the resurrecting, that he had this power. Jesus also performed a special resurrection at this time for his friend. John 11:43-44, it said, "He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths." Now, friends, notice that Jesus didn't tell Lazarus to come down from heaven because he had not gone there. He had not gone any place. He was dead in the grave waiting for the resurrection. Jesus simply said, "Come forth." And there he was, bound hand and foot, just as he had been buried. Lazarus could not tell anything that had happened while he was dead, because he had not been to heaven, or a spirit world, or any place else. The Bible says the dead know not anything, and they'll not live again until they're resurrected. Now this is a beautiful truth when you understand it God's way. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for us, and if we're faithful to him, he's coming again to receive us, to take us to that place. And that will all happen at the resurrection, at the second coming. I think of that dear lady who lost a daughter in a tragic accident. At the funeral, she said the minister put her daughter in heaven, and then he put her in the grave and talked about the resurrection. And then he put her daughter in the spirit world. And she said by the time the sermon was over, she did not know where her daughter was. The minister had said so many contradictory things that he had just confused her, and her mind was bewildered and her heart nearly broken. She wondered, "Now, is my daughter in heaven, or is she in the spirit world, or is she in the grave waiting for the resurrection? And why should Jesus come again at his second coming if she's already in heaven?" Well, now, friends, you can see how paganistic this idea of death is, how confusing it can be. It's Satan's lie that you won't die. Now, later, this lady heard the simple truth about death the way Jesus taught it. And she said it was like a great burden was lifted away. And it made her so happy. Jesus says that her daughter will sleep in death until the resurrection. And then at the second coming, the daughter will live again and be caught up in the air with her mother to go home to heaven together. Isn't that simple and wonderful, friends? And most of all, it's true, because it's God's way according to the Bible. If the dead know not anything, as the Bible says, and if the dead don't go to heaven when they die, or don't go into a spirit world, then who are these voices we hear that sound like our loved ones who've died? And who are these spirits that come and go and look like our departed loved ones? Let's turn to the Bible for the answer to this, friends. Revelation 12:7-9 tells about a rebellion in heaven. Lucifer, or Satan, the rebel angel, and those angels who sided with him against God were cast out. Now, where was Satan cast out to, friends? To the worlds that God had made. And when this world fell into sin, Satan made it his headquarters. Notice that one-third of the angels of heaven were cast out with Satan when they rebelled against God's law. The spirits of spiritism are not our departed loved ones coming back. They're not the spirits of dead men at all. They're not living people at all. They're not even people. According to the Bible, they're the spirits of devils. And they were those evil angels, the spirits of those evil angels who were cast out of heaven. And they masquerade now as the spirits of our departed loved ones. No wonder Revelation 22:12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now, friends, Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Yeah, these spirits are not flesh and blood at all. They're not real people at all. They're the spirits of evil angels. Now, that should answer many of your questions. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Oh, friends, how tragic it is that so many people rely more on feeling than following what the Bible says. Most people allow themselves to believe tricks of evil angels because they're unwilling to follow what the Bible says is truth. Even many people who claim to be Christians are more convinced by a miracle than by the plain words of the Bible. They seem to completely forget that Satan can counterfeit miracles. In fact, Revelation 16:4 says, "For they're the spirits of devils working miracles." You see, now if somebody comes to town doing miracles, we must investigate his teachings to see whether it's from God or not. Now, if someone should come to your city and perform miracles, the multitudes would be there. And if that person appeared as an angel of light, he would be proclaimed as a servant of Christ. Let me warn you, my friends, the spirits of devils in these closing days of Earth's history are going about in this world with their miracle-working powers, deceiving millions of people, and they will look just like an angel. Revelation 13:14 says, "And deceiveth them which dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which they had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast." Now notice, the Bible says that most people would rather believe a miracle of Satan or his angels than to follow what is truth. I suppose the most heartbreaking part of my ministry is to listen to people who say they love the Lord, say they have an experience with Jesus, but refuse to follow truth after they understand it and know that it's right. Well, do not be deceived, friends, in the least bit. Check out any manifestation that you hear of or see and make certain that it's according to the Word of God. Now, I'd like for you to have the material that I've shared with you on today's broadcast and in the last two programs. And it's found in Folder A, Information Folder A, entitled, "Are the Dead Really Dead?" Why don't you write for it today? That's Folder A. And you want to be sure and ask for Information Folder A, entitled, "Are the Dead Really Dead?" And be sure to give the call letters of the station when you write. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.